up? It's The Rant. My name is Jeff Radcliffe, and it is Tuesday, November 1st. Welcome to November, baby. We are officially now in the third quarter of the NFL season. I know, not technically speaking, if you're really divided up, but you know what I'm saying. Every 4 weeks, the league changes. There's an evolution that plays out, and you may be seeing it, man. You may be seeing it for fantasy football purposes. I've seen it in some of my home leagues. Teams that look like juggernauts in September are fading. Some of my teams that look like doo-doo butter in September are playing pretty well. So the league changes, and of course today the league is changing. I'm recording this. It's around 2:30 in the afternoon. I tried to wait as long as I could, but the NFL trade deadline is approaching. We're about an hour and a half away from the deadline, and we have some action today. So before I get into the waiver wire stuff, let me just talk about the two trades that have gone down that impact the offensive side of the ball. The first being TJ Hockenson going to the Minnesota Vikings. Ooh, I see you, Vikings. Very interesting. He comes with a 2023 fourth rounder and a conditional 2024 fourth rounder. The Lions are getting a second rounder for next year and a third rounder for 2024 in exchange for Hockenson. Irv Smith Jr. is now expected to miss 8 to 10 weeks with a very severe high ankle sprain. So from that vantage point, the move makes sense. I don't understand why the Lions would trade within their division. That doesn't make sense to me. But and you have to imagine the Packers were like, yo, we could have used a pass catcher. But Hockenson going to arguably, it's a better situation all around, I think, from an offensive standpoint. A situation, though, that is dominated by Justin Jefferson. So that could put a little bit of a cap on the volume. And we really want to see volume for him. But he'll stay in tight end one territory. I hope there's a plan to harness what he does best. I hope this isn't a, you know, like, remember Austin Hooper when he was with the Falcons and then free agency goes to the Browns and then was just basically covered up. You know, I hope that's not what we get here, but he's going to stay in tight end one territory. The other trade that went down, Chase Claypool finally out of the Pittsburgh Steelers organization and heading to Chicago. The Bears getting giving up a second round pick for Chase Claypool. That's a pretty hefty price, I would think. I find that pretty interesting. That's what they were willing to pay for him. They had a desperate need for a bigger-bodied receiver who could play more of an X receiver role. Claypool can do that for them. They did not have a true number one. You can try as much as you want to call Darnell Mooney a true number one. He's not a true number one. Darnell Mooney actually could be a great 1A if Chase Claypool eventually evolves into that number one. It'll take time. I'm going to talk about Kadarius Toney here in a minute. It's going to take time with any of these receivers who are traded to new teams to get acclimated, to get up to speed. But Claypool should at least initially be the number two and could very well be the number one in short order in that roster. The problem, of course, with the Chicago Bears, they don't throw the football. So, for fantasy purposes, I mean, maybe long-term, this might be a slightly better spot because it's not as crowded. And honestly, for the Steelers, that's a great trade. Honestly, that's a great trade for the Steelers. And watch what they're going to do with it. You know as well as I do what the freaking Steelers are going to do. They're going to draft a wide receiver in the second round next year, and it's going to be a huge future Hall of Fame guy, right? That's just what they do. It's just what they do. So good on them. All right, so let's dive into it. A lot of moving pieces in the waiver wire this week. Not the best waiver week of the year, but I think there's a few spots we can get out ahead of a few things, and there's opportunity. So at the top for me, I'm assuming that Garrett Wilson and Deontay Foreman are rostered. If not, they would be the top ads, but they're over 70% rostered, so they didn't make the waiver wire rankings column over at FTNFantasy.com. Promo code RATPACK for 20% off. I say it like that, but you know what? It is a good deal. Anyway, they didn't make the list because they're too heavily rostered. If they did, they would be, you know, 20, 25%. Kadarius Toney is number one on my list, going 15% on him. I don't think we're going to see a large role immediately. Andy Reid told us as much, but you have such an intriguing profile for that offense. Kadarius Toney is blazing fast. Kadarius Toney is a better than you think route runner. He didn't get to really showcase that skill set with the Giants because, well, he barely played this year and barely played last year. He was banged up for a good portion of it. That is one drawback here. But they have a need, right? They have Juju and Marquez Valdes-Scantling, where you have essentially two slot receivers. MVS can be more of a vertical threat, but he isn't a blazing fast guy. Like, he does get downfield, but he's not blazing fast. You have a blazing fast guy in Mecole Hardman, but Mecole Hardman is really more of a satellite player who's better in space than he is a true wide receiver. So can Kadarius Toney be that? They want, you know, they have a need to replace Tyreek Hill. Kadarius Toney's not Tyreek Hill, but can he be 85% of Tyreek Hill? I don't know the answer, but I'm willing to take a shot on him. Obviously, this is great for his dynasty prospects as well. Chuba Hubbard also going 15%. He thinks he can get back this week. Obviously, Deontay Foreman exploding last week, but let's not forget that Hubbard was the lead the week before the ankle injury. Hubbard looked good himself, and I do think this is going to be a full-blown timeshare. I don't think this is just Deontay Foreman taking the job and running with it. So I think we could be in a situation where both of these guys are flex options potentially moving forward. Devin Duvernay at 3, going 10% on him. Rashad Bateman aggravated the foot injury. When is he going to be back? This sucks because he got off to such a good start. He was Rashad Batman in the first 2 weeks of the season. Now he's been Rashad Robin ever since. Robin, our fantasy prospects here, man. So Bateman, I'll talk about him, whether or not we can drop him. But Duvernay is the de facto number one without Bateman. It's a run-heavy offense, but still, could he be a flex option, borderline wide receiver 3, especially a week like this where there's 6 teams on bye? Potentially. They're on bye next week, by the way. Rondale Moore, 10%. Actually was surprised at how widely available he is. But DeAndre Hopkins is the top target. We know that. Moore is playing an every down role, though. 7 catches, 92 yards in his score this past week. I like the idea of Moore until Marquise Brown gets back. All right, here's a guy who I want to get out ahead of, and I think this might be our last opportunity to do so. James Cook. I'm going 8% on him. Here's, you know, essentially what I recommended back in August was draft James Cook, don't expect anything. And this happens every year, and people seem to forget this every year. Rookies like James Cook often don't do anything in September. And when they don't do anything in September after the first 2 or 3 weeks, fantasy managers drop them every year. Every stinking year they drop these guys, and then you can get them at a discount by picking them up. I had that happen in a home league. Second week, he was dropped. I picked him up. I've just had him on my bench. Now, it's a deeper bench league. Like, we have 8 bench spots. But still, I haven't even thought about him since. I wasn't going to use him. I didn't pick him up to use him in September or October. My whole thing with guys like James Cook is November is the time when we start to see the rubber meet the road. And last week, we weren't even in November yet, and look at him, 76 scrimmage yards on 6 touches. Now, only 15 snaps, but man, when you put up that kind of efficiency, the coaching staff is going to take notice. And there's been a plan for him all along. It was the most snaps he had played, by the way, since week 2, so he's already ramping up there. I'm going to get him now. I already have him in a bunch of leagues, but I'm going to get him now because 2 things. First and foremost, he could pull into more of a timeshare with Singletary and then all of a sudden be a flex option. Or if Singletary goes down, how much are we spending on James Cook if Singletary goes down? We're spending 100% of our fab. Here you get him at 8% cheap. So I'm just putting him on the bench, not planning to use him. Put him on the bench. Got to use that bench strategically. Justin Fields, 8%. Man, he's not going to blow you away with his arm, but he is such a good running quarterback. It's Jalen Hurts last year. That's what he is. He's producing quarterback 1 numbers over the last 3 weeks. I would say, worst case scenario, he's a premium streamer going forward, and really, he probably will end up being a top 12 option going forward. You know, he's doing right now what I think a lot of us had hoped Trey Lance was going to do this season. So I'll take it. Greg Dulcich, 7%. Somebody's got to tell him he's a rookie and he shouldn't be playing this well at tight end, man. He's balling out. Another big game, 4 for 87. I love the wide receiver skill set. He's going to continue to be heavily integrated in that offense. He's a back-end tight end one going forward at a notoriously tricky position. Now, you could also go after Evan Engram. I'm only going 5% on him. The reason being, now, he's been very consistent over the last 4 weeks, but this team is now, is Travis Etienne. Like, that's the team. They're going to be running like crazy with Etienne, which is great. And Evan Engram, you know, all I'm really looking for any tight end is, you know, try to get me as close to double-digit fantasy points as I can, if not get there, right? So if he gives you like 4 for 50, 4 for 45, you're close. A touchdown puts you up over. A touchdown, 4 for 45 and a touchdown is a top 5 fantasy week. Most weeks a tight end. And Engram has been doing that, so I don't mind him. How about this one? Allen Robinson, your boy. He's back. Well, sort of. Only going 5% on him. This is in case Cooper Kupp misses time. Now, the initial report is that he's probably not going to miss time, but I'll believe it when I see it. And the problem with waivers is we're operating on Tuesday night when we have limited information. We don't even have a practice report for everybody except the, you know, Thursday night teams. So I'm going to go out, pick him up. But this is more so as well because I honestly thought that was the best Allen Robinson had looked all season this past week. Him and Matthew Stafford seemed to be much more on the same page. It was only 5 for 54 on 7 targets, but he did look better. Romeo Doubs, a guy who last week I said don't drop. Well, people dropped him. 5% on him, 4 for 62 and a score with no Allen Lazard. Even with Allen Lazard there, he'll still be kind of the 1A, and he'll be flex-worthy unless somehow a trade happens in the meantime here, and changes things, because I actually just see a trade. So let me talk about this really quickly, and then I'll get back to number 11. Bradley Chubb went to the Dolphins. The Dolphins got Bradley Chubb in a 2025 fifth-round pick. They gave up a 2024 fourth-round pick, the 2023 first-round pick that they acquired from San Francisco, and your boy, Chase Edmonds. If there's anything that has solidified Raheem Mostert, it's this right here. Chase Edmonds, I mean, he's going to be the Mike Boone role, so guess who's going to get cut? Your other boy, Marlon Mack, is probably going to get cut after this. I'm unpacking this literally as it's happening here. Maybe you toss a dollar or two at Chase Edmonds, but I don't see that there's much value there. Anyway, back to number 11, Josh Palmer going 5% on him. You got to add him for free last week if he was available. Remember, when players are on bye, they don't show up in projected points. So most of your opponents sort by projected points when they make their waiver claims. They don't see the guys who are on bye. I was able to get somebody I'm going to mention in a minute for that very reason last night, I believe. Yeah. On a Monday night, guy who was on bye last week scooped him up to get ahead of things. But anyway, Palmer, Mike Williams won't play. We don't know if Keenan Allen's going to play, but Palmer will see a lot of work regardless. Khalil Herbert, 5%. Now, he looked great. He's looked great in general. 99 yards and a score on 16 carries this past week. Here's the one thing that gives me pause and why I'm not saying spend 25% on him. David Montgomery had 48 snaps. Khalil Herbert had 21. It's still Monty's backfield, whether we like it or not. Now, eventually maybe that changes, and that's why it's worth having Khalil Herbert on your bench. But I think a lot of people are going to look at last week's numbers, pick him up thinking he's a starter for them, and 21 snaps is just simply not enough work to sustain consistent fantasy production. Tyler Conklin at 13.3%. All right, the merry-go-round continues. We're going back. Back on Conklin. It looked like his role was decreasing, and then his role increased and obviously exploded for 79 yards, 2 scores on 6 catches, 10 targets in the process as well. I don't expect that type of production again, but it was pretty obvious Zach Wilson was looking his way a lot, and he's back up into streamer territory. Kenyon Drake, 3%, another one back on the Kenyon Drake merry-go-round. Gus Edwards is banged up. There is the chance, because this team is heading into bye next week, that they rest Gus Edwards. I don't know if it's going to happen or not, but if they do, Kenyon Drake, a one-week rental. The problem with Kenyon Drake, as we all know, is that every week we all play him, he does nothing, and every week we don't play him, he blows up. All right, so the player I was alluding to who was available on waivers last night because he was on bye, and I had a player that I moved to IR and then didn't fill the spot, So I had an open spot, picked up Isaiah Pacheco. I got him only at 3%. I'm not going overboard here because remember, he was the starter, using the air quotes there. Everybody freaked out. Everybody, you know, picked him up, used him, and he didn't do anything because it was still a full-blown committee in the backfield. I don't think that changes. But I'm willing to take a shot here because every so often a team will come out of bye week and things will change. So just toss in 3% of him. Terrace Marshall, 3%. He's basically now the full-time opposite DJ Moore with no Robbie Anderson there. 9 targets. Caught 4 for 87. Big playability there with Terrace Marshall. Isaiah Likely. Mark Andrews. What I just said about Gus Edwards, the same thing could apply to Mark Andrews. They're saying he may not miss any time. Well, you have a bye next week. He's very important to what you're doing. You're sitting in first place in the AFC North. You have Isaiah Likely. I mean, Isaiah Likely will be a top 10 play if Andrews sits. So if I have Andrews, I'm just going to grab Likely. It's a handcuff situation just in case. Kate Otten, 2%. Not going overboard here. He'll be relevant as long as Cameron Brait doesn't play. The numbers from last week don't look good, but he had a touchdown called back, so there was that. KJ Osborne, 2%. Adam Thielen is banged up. I don't know if this is going to cost him any time or not, but he left that game briefly with a knee injury. He did come back, but just in case. Darius Slayton, 2%. I'm still not overboard on the Giants wideouts, but he has 124 yards and a score on 8 catches over the last 2 weeks. And remember, he's going on bye, so you get him for nothing and just tuck him away. 3 Rams. Van Jefferson, Ben Skowronek, Kyren Williams, all 2%. Jefferson and Skowronek are just in case you're in deeper leagues and Cooper Kupp does miss time. Kyren Williams, man, one thing that's true about people who play fantasy football is they read the headlines and that's it. And they take the headline at face value and that's it. You guys read a headline. Jordan Rodrigue, who covers the team, said he's going to have a big role. And Jordan, she does a great job covering the team. Jordan is not a fantasy analyst. She isn't. I am. I'm not a beat writer. I don't cover the Rams. But I do know I speak in a slightly different language than a beat writer does. When I say big role, oh, yeah, that dude's touching the ball a ton. You know, fire him up in your lineups, all that. When a beat writer says big role, they mean a football role, but they don't necessarily mean exactly the same thing as us in some instances. I don't know exactly what Jordan meant by that, but I'm not willing to just take that headline and reach these broad sweeping conclusions with it. I think this is going to be a committee. I think we're going to see Kyren Williams. I think we're going to see your boy Ronnie Rivers. I think we're going to see Malcolm Brown and Daryl Henderson. That's a mess. So, yes, he's worth picking up, but no, he's not worth going overboard on. And no, it is not safe to assume that he is now going to be the number one back, and it's just that. He's the next coming of Todd Gurley in this thing. Not going that far. Tyquan Thornton, 1%. Devontae Parker could miss this week, so you might get a little bit of help here. In a tough week, you know, there's so many players on bye, so you need to fill some spots. Marcus Mariota, 1%. If you're hoping for Desmond Ridder, as long as this team's in first place in the NFC South. What the heck? As long as they keep winning, we're not going to get Desmond Ridder. And Mariota's top 10 in fantasy scoring. He gets to face the Chargers this week, so he'll be a prime streamer. N'Keal Harry, well, I'm going to go 1%. Now, obviously, N'Keal Harry, the role does change with Claypool. But Harry's playing the slot anyway. So I think he'll still be out there. I think Equanimeous St. Brown slides back to the number 4 role. So if you wanted to in a deep league, take a shot on N'Keal Harry, go for it. He's not a major priority. Laviska Shenault, 1%. He's actually behind Shai Smith in the pecking order, but he outplayed him this past week. And I actually think he'd be a pretty nice slot for them if they, you know, round this thing into form. You get DJ Moore and Terrace Marshall, then you put Shenault with his positionless skill set in the slot. That's pretty fun. So I'm willing to take a stab on him in deeper leagues. Deion Jackson, 1%. Jonathan Taylor exited this past week briefly with an ankle. That's just a friendly reminder. If you have Jonathan Taylor, you better have Deion Jackson. Ronnie Rivers, 1%, like I mentioned. Yeah, I would toss any of these guys onto your bench in deeper leagues if your waiver wire is picked over, just in case. Because we don't know what McVay is going to do. Heck, before by the time this show, by the time you're listening to this, maybe, just maybe, we have a trade for a running back for them, because we know they were in the mix for Christian McCaffrey. But for now, Ronnie Rivers could be scooped up really cheaply. Jaylen Warren up next, 1% on him. He's still behind Najee Harris, but this kid, he's pretty explosive. 50 yards on 6 carries. He will not be supplanting Najee Harris anytime soon. But you get maybe they use him a little bit more, or you get maybe Najee Harris gets hurt. As I'm sitting here, here we go. Trade. Jeff Wilson being traded to the Miami Dolphins. So we were dropping Jeff Wilson. I don't know if we can do that yet. This one is interesting. Obviously, Wilson knows the run scheme. He is expendable now for the 49ers. And is Raheem Mostert banged up? That's my first question. If not, then maybe he just slides in there, you know, basically is the number two to Raheem Mostert. There may be some value still with Jeff Wilson. We know he can handle a big workload. And the beauty to him, he doesn't have any acclimating. He already knows the offense. All right, back over here. Three quarterbacks to round it out. Andy Dalton, Taylor Heineke, PJ Walker. Dalton is the starter for now. He may retain that job. He certainly got it over a healthy Jameis Winston last week and did not do anything to lose the job. So I would say if he's available in Superflex, I'm going up to 25% there. And he could be a deep streamer in one quarterback leagues. Heineke is coming off a top 10 performance last week. So deeper leagues, you could possibly stream him as well. Superflex, I want to grab him because I think he could keep this job regardless of what happens with Carson Wentz. I mean, that team is 4-4. It's kind of, they're getting overlooked because you have the Eagles undefeated and then you have 2-6-2 teams in that division. But Heineke gave him a little bit of a spark here. Finally, Walker is going to be the starter this week. So, you know, I'd go 5-10% in Superflex if I needed some help there. So, you know, I don't know how long he keeps this job, but he has it for now. I'm going to hard pass on Cole Kmet. I know he scored a touchdown last week, but he only had 2 targets in that game. Just not enough meat on the bone. All right, here's players who I'm holding. I just mentioned I will now be holding Jeff Wilson. I originally had him on the cut list. I'm going to hold him because I want to see what happens here in Miami. Daniel Jones, if you can get away with holding him through his bye week, he's producing a lot like Justin Fields. Everybody's going gaga over Justin Fields, but not as much over Daniel Jones, but he's producing very similarly. I know last week wasn't that good, but it's the ability to produce with his legs that's so key. Gus Edwards, I'm going to hang on to him even if he misses time here because he will be the lead back in that backfield. Not the feature, not the, you know, bell cow, but he's still the lead back in early down situations. That's where you produce anyway in that backfield, that run-heavy offense. James Robinson, hey, I was glad that he was active. If you had any inclination that you wanted to cut him loose, don't do it. He's going to expand his role going forward. George Pickens, I guess this is an obvious one now, but some people might have thought about it after the goose egg. But obviously, with Chase Claypool out of the mix, you can't be cutting Pickens loose. Now things get a little bit easier for fantasy purposes there. Oh, by the way, another trade. I might as well say them as they're happening here. So you get this, like, as it's happening, you already know it. I don't. You're in the future. I'm in the darn present, okay? The Falcons are trading Calvin Ridley to the Jags. That's a weird one. There's obviously no immediate fantasy impact here. But that means, I guess, Calvin Ridley will be back next year. So there you go. Another receiver in the mix for them in the future. All right, back over to the cut list. So this week, Irv Smith, I already talked about that. Rashad Bateman, I am going to cut him loose, unfortunately. It just isn't happening this season. The thought process was right with him, but if a dude can't stay healthy, he can't stay healthy. We can't do anything about that. And then Elijah Moore, he has not been traded yet. So if you're listening to this and he had been traded, okay, well, you hold on to him. But if he stays with the Jets, this is sad. Like, there's no value to be had with him. All right, defenses. If you have the Eagles, the Bills, the Patriots, the Bucks, you keep them. They're all in good spots this week, and they're all good defenses. If not, here are the streamers that I have. Kansas City versus Tennessee, the Chiefs. I don't care if it's Tannehill, Malik Willis, Tennessee giving away the ball 1.3 times per game. The Dolphins against Chicago. Justin Fields is playing well, but he's still getting sacked a ton, 3.9 sacks per game. And Miami getting themselves a little bit of edge rush help. I don't know how much we're going to see some of these guys who are traded, but at least in the first game. But you're going to get a couple of snaps in there. Yeah, a couple. The Colts facing Mac Jones and the New England Patriots. Mac Jones is turning the ball over a little bit here recently. I want to take advantage of that if I can. And then finally, Cincinnati. I know after Monday night, it's going to be tough to get behind them. But you're facing P.J. Walker. Carolina allowing the sixth most fantasy points per game to opposing defenses. I don't mind, tossing them out there if waiver wire is picked over and I don't have one of those better options. All right, that does it for today. Remember, FTNFantasy.com, promo code RATPACK for 20% off. Also, remember, I have another podcast. It is called the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. So if you want a ranking show and a game preview show, that's on Wednesday and Friday, you got to subscribe to that feed, okay? It's pretty much this exact podcast, but with different music. So it doesn't have the outro music you're about to hear here. Yes, you're hearing it. All right, so I will be back for this podcast feed on Tuesday for Week 10 waivers. Wow, man. In the meantime, crush it. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out.